Can Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon and welcome to hour number two. You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill across from Tropicana Field, brought to you by our friends at Sea Dogs Brewery, where they're serving breakfast daily. And of course, Ice Pick Vodka, big sponsor of all of our professional conversations. And of course, On the Tee Florida, and then along with Shipyard Brewing and our great friends covering high school sports at Coca-Cola Beverages and Body Armor and the U.S. Marines. I want to thank all three of those being instrumental in everything we do on the high school side of things. Hey, I had mentioned that it is week zero in college football, Ben Botham, and here's a lineup of the games today. You've got my Notre Dame Fighting Irish taking on the Midshipmen of Navy, and that's that annual game over in Ireland. I got a couple buddies over there that are Irish and diehard Notre Dame fans. I hope that they don't get thrown in jail. But they've been sending over Facebook clips and pictures from over there in Dublin and having a great time. San Diego State takes on Ohio. USC Trojans, San Jose State. Vandy in Hawaii, and that's just a handful, just a little tease of week zero before next weekend, Labor Day weekend, and all the games in college football. And of course, you can see the games all down here. If you happen to be a fan of a respective team, we got over 100 televisions at Ferg's. Come on down, we'll turn it on for you, and you'll be able to watch it with like-minded fans. And I don't think there's a Savannah State watch party.
No, unfortunately.
But Georgia Southern.
They'll be playing the Citadel in September 2nd. So I'm excited for that.
Your Eagles?
Yeah, my Georgia Southern Eagles, GSU, Hail Southern.
I forgot, Brad, because you're so focused on high school. Are you a Gator or a Seminole?
Oh, good question. Good question. Well,
if you don't know, then you're not
I do have an answer for that.
Vance Ryder?
Well, here's the thing. My uncle is a graduate of FSU, and my cousin and his family are always FSU fans. So if I'm going to have to go with one, it's definitely going to be FSU, just to make them happy if they're listening right now. So
just in case they're listening, you're either a fan or you're not.
Hey.
You're a Gator or a Seminole?
Probably more a USF Bull.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely USF Bull. But I'm saying this, you would see me go up to Tallahassee, but not going over to the Swamp. Let's just put it that way.
Gotcha. Okay. I just want clarification. I don't have to worry about that because everybody knows what my favorite team is.
Yeah, we know that for sure.
And what would that be?
Guys.
He didn't even want to say it. Yeah. The University of Iowa Hawkeyes.
Hawkeyes. Come on.
Yes. All right. So last night, an active night. You were you on the call last night?
I was.
Look at you smiling. They're both smiling.
There's a good night.
Benny said last night that my voice, as always, sounded beautiful over that PA system. So I had to give it.
Were you at the game?
Yes, I certainly was. Somebody had to collect some tickets.
He is serving a role that is very vital to Seminole Warhawks football.
Hey, wait a minute before we dive into the football. We've got to give him some love to start the second hour now, since this is a lot of focus on high school. Undefeated this season in bowling, has his inaugural year at the helm of the inaugural season of bowling for the Seminole Warhawk boys and girls program. Our own Ben Botham starts out hot.
Give him a clap right there.
Your opponent?
Oh, we dominated. And dominated Dunedin. Dunedin lost every match of that game.
Are they the Falcons?
I believe so, yeah. So
yeah, they definitely
are. It was very exciting to see. All of our bowlers were out there. We had several guys bowl in the mid-200s for the first game of the season. This is all without...
I never thought we'd be breaking down bowling on a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
And this is all without our number one bowler in the state. He was not eligible yet. He is eligible now, so he'll be able to play in this upcoming match. Very excited for that one. We're going to be up at Maple Lanes, and it's a 3:20 start time for that match. So I'm very excited to see them all out there. The boys also took all of the Baker matches as well.
Explain that to
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
So the Baker match, you have 10 frames that you play when you go out to bowl. So what happens is you get your best five bowlers, and it goes the first bowler, the second bowler, all the way up to the fifth one, and then you start over from the first one all the way through the fifth one again. So you want to put your number one bowler as your fifth guy. So that way that way they can bowl in the 10th frame and get, you know, multiple strikes, which we did in one of our Baker games where they scored a 201 in a Baker match, which is very difficult to do because you got five different people bowling and not everybody you're going to be able to come back and get a strike. But in that match, I'll tell you what, these guys were throwing rocks, Mike. It was something special.
He's actually getting excited about this.
God,
I'll tell you what.
He is absolutely excited about this.
Did he get some gear for the kids yet?
We're working on it. We're trying.
So they're just wearing their own clothes?
We're wearing our own green polos.
Hey, at least it's green polos there, buddy. But you just got to get the bowling shirts now.
Dead serious. I'm getting your team. Get the sizes, how many I need. I'm getting the Warhawks. And we're going to have some fun because then we're going to put this on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And the Warhawks are going to be all over social media.
Yeah, so it was great out there. That was probably the most fun I've ever had coaching, Mike. It was so exciting. The girls were talking a little bit of smack. The girls were more into it than the guys. It was unbelievable. Girls that were coming out there just
and we're talking the girls.
Well, just to be fair too, with girls getting into the game, I mean, there's a big difference between girls hyping up during a softball game.
Oh yes, they have orchestrated cheers.
I mean, they have one. I'll never forget this at a baseball game. Whenever there was a strikeout, they would go left, right, left, right, left, right. Sit down. That was what they used to say, and it's fantastic. You can hear when we're at the baseball field. You can hear the girls across the way at their field when
I don't care if it's the NCAA World Series women's fast pitch. They're still, you know, the Oklahomas of the world. They're still orchestrating it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk a little high school sports across the area, and then we'll switch gears to Pinellas County. But right now, of course, he was kind enough to come down in our Pinellas County Media Day. He is Josh Wilson, and he's with FloridaHighSchoolFootball.com. And I'm sure you're a little ragged after a busy Friday night across the state.
Josh, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. It was a busy night. I'll tell you that right now. It was a busy night. Mother Nature luckily did not wreck many games like it was last year, because a lot of games in week one last year were wrecked by Mother Nature, but this year not so much. And a lot of interesting results across the state this for week one. Some surprises and some teams that are saying, "Hey, don't forget to talk about us."
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in Pinellas County, there was a lot of surprises. I mean, you got to admit. I mean, let's talk about the one real quick. Northeast Lakewood. That game, just watching it during Seminoles game, that one shocked me. I mean, I'm watching this and I'm like, where did this Vikings team come from? I mean, what's your take on it?
That shocked me when I saw that score. I was like, what? I'm like, where's this Northeast team at? You know, where did they come from? What happened to Lakewood? But then, you know, hey, Lakewood lost some guys, you know? So, you know,
Lost Anthony Calandra. They lost him. That, you know, this is where Corey Moore now has got to find the next guy who's going to be his leader, his next Anthony Calandra. That is going to be the biggest thing. And with Corey now, I mean, this is a wake-up call, a true wake-up call to the Spartans.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you can't ride on what you've been, you know, used to the last few years. Now you've got to go in there and you've got to, you know, plug and play until you find the right formula, you know. And, if that takes you a couple games, then that takes you a couple games. But at the end of the day, you know, Corey Moore has been here, done that. So, you know, if Lakewood struggles here early on, I know Coach Moore would rather take that, you know, struggling early on than having the struggle if it comes time for the postseason.
Yeah. I will tell you, fellas, Coach Sean Davis and I have formed a friendship. And just 2 weeks ago, he came down here to Ferg's, and I sat and had a little lunch with him. And this was his signature win. You know, he has turned that program around since he came from St. Pete High. But we were just going down and looking at his schedule, and he said, "We're going to surprise some people at that next level." And he met, you know, Lakewood and to compete. And I think he's onto something. He's building a program over there at Northeast.
No, absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, we got to talk about another big one last night. I mean, this was a close game. Clearwater Central Catholic against Berkeley Prep. I tell you, that was a interesting game going back and forth. I mean, this was, of course, Chris Harvey versus Dominic Chow of Berkeley Prep. I mean, this was they struggled. CCC actually struggled in the first half of this game. I mean, Berkeley Prep was leading 14-7 going into halftime. I mean, God,
14-0 at one point.
Yeah, 14-0. But then, yeah, that was in the first quarter. But then all of a sudden. Something happened. Yeah. Something came around and just put another bit of fire in those guys' belly to bring them back. Final score, 21-14. We know how far Berkeley Prep went last year. We know how much of a nuisance they are to Calvary Christian. This is another wake-up call, definitely, to CCC. I mean, they're trying to go again to the playoffs.
Well, for CCC, you know, getting all the way to the state championship game last year, you know, for them, you know, you're thinking, well, you know, okay, you know, you're coming off a state runner-up appearance, maybe, you know, the fires in you because, you know, hey, you want to get back to that state championship game. You tasted it. Now you want to get back there. And maybe this is not what the start, you know, here for what CCC wanted. So, you know, looking at it, you know, Berkeley Prep is a tough test. And, you know, when they used to be in the same classification, you know, between CCC and Berkeley Prep, you know, they give each other fits. And, you know, there's a reason why this game is on the schedule because they can give each other fits. And sure enough, Berkeley Prep gave CCC the fit, you know, of all fits to start the season. And but, you know, the Marauders, you know, flexing that muscle. You know what? That's awesome. You know, be able to come out, you know, 1-0 on the other side of the scoreboard.
Absolutely. You know, I got to give actually a quick shout out. I meant to say this in the beginning. This was another shocker last night. I mean, this is, of course, my game that I called Seminole versus Bogey. This was the inaugural season of none other than Coach Myron Dillard, a alumni of Bogey itself. I mean, last year, Bogey defeated Seminole 27-0. Obviously, that game was called because of rain. But here's the thing. This team was evenly matched, I think, in talent, watching Seminole play Kathleen. And I tell you what, they fought back and forth for three quarters. And this game, I tell you what, me and Ben were there last night. It came down to a field goal. The score was 17-14 in Seminole's favor. Final seconds of the game. And of course, Bogey tried to go for it and it just came up short. This is the first time Seminole has beaten Bogey in over 20 years. This was a huge win, not just for Augie, but for the program in general. Big shocker.
You can't tell that he's an alum.
No.
The excitement in his voice there, right, Josh?
I know. I know it's about like when my alma mater wins. I get that excitement too, but I mean, you know, that's huge for Seminole to come up, you know, considering that went totally against everything in my power ranking in the forecast. It totally went. That whole game was, you know, I had Bogey winning that game. And, you know, this was another shocker. You know, another shocker here. But, you know, you talk about games that, you know, were really interesting and you know, and talk about, you know, shocking, you know. I looking at that Lake Gibson Eastlake score, that's another one because I wasn't sure about Lake Gibson coming into this year. But Eastlake, you know, hey, coming off a regional final appearance, you're like wondering, okay, you know, does the momentum carry over? And last night we kind of saw that maybe it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, final score 26-14. I mean, that was a shocker and all. I mean, preseason is understandable, but, you know, now it's the grind. It is the grind now. And, yeah, that one kind of shocked me for sure. I mean, Largo and Pinellas Park played last night. I mean, Largo was in true form. Final score 35-17 over Pinellas Park. I mean, two good teams. But Largo, you think, you know, Marcus, he is ready to go back into the playoffs. He did not like that his season just was cut off early. So he's ready to go back. He is ready, and he's got a fire in their bellies right now.
No, absolutely, and that's huge right there. And then, of course, you know, another team we had at the media day that we talked about, you know, the Clearwater Academy. You know, they had a 21-0 lead.
Last night.
They were final score, Miami-Columbus 28-21 against Clearwater Academy.
Yeah, and that one I was like, well, here we go. I'm like, okay, you know, the defending 4M state champs, you know, are they about to get the doors blown off of them here in game one? And, you know, they came back in that second half and totally shut them out 28-21. You know, shut them out that 28-0 run in the second half to win 28-21. Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, Clearwater Academy, you look at it, you know, they've got one of the toughest schedules across the entire state. So, you know, the Knights are going to be fired up. You know, for their next game, and you know, I try to pull up the schedule here real quick of who they got next week. I mean, they're going to be really fired up. I know they're going to be fired up after, you know, letting that game slip out of their hands.
How many D1 commits you think are in those two squads combined, fellas?
Over
a dozen?
I mean, we met three at least that day for media day. I mean, God, I would say if I'm going to take a guess, I'd maybe say 10 or 11. That's just my guess. So, I mean, what about you, Josh?
I mean, I'm sitting there around a dozen, maybe the 15, somewhere like that. And see, here's the thing. Now, let's talk about this with Clearwater County. You got Edgewater next week. And Edgewater just got by Bishop Moore last night, just by a nick of a hair.
Yeah.
So maybe this week Clearwater County marches into Edgewater and they win that game.
Hey, did I see that Jones got beat last night?
22-20 was the final score on that. Yeah. Jones did. Yeah.
Oh my God. This game has been a week of shockers.
Hey, I was out of town. How was the Jesuit Jones game?
A Jesuit, I believe, won, right?
Jesuit won that game, yes. Jones won that game very handily.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, so, I've got a score for y'all. I've got a score for y'all.
Yeah, that game, I mean, Jesuit is always going to be competitive. Go for it.
I got a score for you, 76-60.
Wow.
That was the score last night.
What basketball game was played? Like an All-Star game or something? 76-60? Was that in 6-man or 8-man?
No, it was 11-man. It was Lake Mary 76, Dr. Phillips 60.
Holy moly. God. Wow, track meet.
Literally, yeah.
Talk about a track meet. Talk about someone they just left the defense in the locker room.
Oh my God. Are you talking about flag football that you cover with the girls?
No, this is the 11-man tackle. This happened last night.
76-60. You get those scores a lot back where I'm from in the Midwest for games with 6-player and 8-player. But anyway,
no,
I digress.
So here's the thing. I'm gonna now go ahead and say the three games that I am looking so forward to seeing this coming week and all. There's one. Home game, Calvary Christian, right out the gate against St. John Paul II. This is their first home game. We'll get to see how these guys play. I mean, we talked about them obviously during media day. They're ready to go back. Lakewood, Palmetto. I mean, Lakewood is mad. They want redemption. So let's see how they do. And I'm looking forward to seeing another one, Largo versus Lakeland. I mean, this is going to be an interesting matchup. Yeah. Let's see how Marcus, you know, approaches this game. I mean, even though, yeah, they had a great win right out the, you know, out the gate, this is it. You can't get cocky. This is week number two coming.
Largo arguably has the best linebacker in the country. You know that.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
And for Largo, you're right. They cannot get cocky. And I will say this, do not get cocky on Lakeland, because Lakeland is going to come in steaming hot, considering that Miami Norland went into Bryant Stadium last night and beat them 48-34.
You there, Josh?
Yeah.
We lost him.
Uh-oh, we lost him, yeah.
I'm here.
Man, yeah, you there?
I'm here. I never lost him.
Cut off there for a second. Yeah. The other one, I'll say the number fourth one I'm ready to see, of course, is CCC versus Trinity Catholic. That's going to be another great game to watch. I meant three, but I'm going to say number four for that one. So my question to you now, what are the top three for you to see coming up with Hillsboro this week? I mean, there's got to be some great Hillsboro games coming up.
Well, let's talk about that in a moment, but I'll come down and answer that question in a moment, because I know I got cut off there. I'm going to do about the Lakeland-Largo game. Lakeland's going to come in steaming hot. They're mad. They lost to Miami Norland 48-34 last night at home against at Bryant Stadium there in Lakeland. So Miami Norland came in and beat them.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be ready to come out. I mean, Largo's a force. They're definitely going to be ready for them. So let's see how mad they get.
No, absolutely. So looking at some Hillsboro games for next week, you know, we're still early in the season, but looking at some games here that you know, that could be very, very interesting. You know, Plant City and Morton would be a one that I would keep an eye on, especially after Plant City came out a winner last night. And then, looking at a couple other games here, pulling up the schedule right now as we're talking here, looking at the games just right on the top of it, you know, looking at it, you know. Oops, why is that not cooperating with me? Hold on a second. There we go.
Technology at its best, absolutely. So, Yeah. And
but you know what? You know what? Berkeley Prep at Plant. That's going to be another good one, right?
Oh, that will be good. Yeah, Berkeley. Yeah, I mean they're going to be mad too after their loss to CCC. So they're going to be ready to get back on the board with a win.
And Plant came up just ever so close against Tampa Bay Tech. They were that close on them. So to think about that one with them, that's a reason why. And then of course, you know, Steinbrenner, they took a big L last night against Gaither, and you know they're going to be looking to see if they can't find some redemption, you know, when they got Tampa Bay Tech next week as well. So that'll be those are some interesting ones. But here's another one for you that I'll pull that I think will be interesting. Jesuit at Treasure Coast.
Treasure Coast
just knocked off Osceola last night, Kissimmee Osceola. So
that's right, yeah, you know, they did.
So another big upset. Between Jesuit and Treasure Coast, one of those two teams is going to have an L next week.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, when you look at that Jesuit program, they're not shying away from their schedule. When you take a look how they open up with Jones over in Orlando, and now they got Treasure Coast. Who'd they have last night?
Who did?
Which team? Who had Jesuit
last night?
It was Jones, I believe it was Wharton here. Let me pull up on my scores right now because I've got them all.
George was the week before.
Oh yeah, that was a week before. Yeah,
yeah. Jesuit 34, Wharton 20.
20. Okay.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I mean, those are the games to definitely look for next week for sure. I mean, those are just going to be redemption weeks. Absolutely redemption weeks. It's going to be, this is the kick in the butt now. So they've got to be ready to come out and say, hey, this is why, you know, we were in the playoffs last year. This is why we're going back. We're not going to let that win, you know, get to us. Remember when in media day, each coach had said, it's one game at a time. We're not focusing on, you know, week 8 when we're playing Lakewood or Largo or any of those teams. We're looking at each individual game. These guys aren't trying to predict the future.
Well, they're playing a very tough schedule, a lot of these teams, to start the season there, Brad.
True, absolutely. But again, you can't predict the future. Lakewood probably said, oh, going into this game last night, we're playing Northeast. Who cares? Nope. That was a wrong mistake on their part. If they were thinking that, that was a mistake. Now it's like, okay, let's not take Pinellas County for granted. Let's not just focus on other teams around the state down in Miami. This is a chance now to say, okay, you know, we focused wrong on this.
Well, if you remember, Coach Davis said he had a lot of athletes. He had guys that he was moving from other positions because of the level of his athleticism. And obviously, that's a recipe for success when you're playing these highly talented teams.
Oh, absolutely, and all that. So, Josh, your input.
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, like, you know, hey, and for teams, you can't look ahead to things. You can't look ahead and you can't write off teams. You cannot do that because if you don't take the 1 week at a time focus mentality on some of this stuff, it's going to come back to bite you. And, you know, and if Lakewood did do that, you know, they did look at Northeast. It's like, oh, it's just Northeast, you know, when we've been beating them, you know, for a while, you know, we're just going to come in and do the same thing. You know, it's like, well, wait a second, hold on. You know, if you go in that, you know, and then, you know, the same mentality, you know, it's a, Lakewood comes in next week and think, oh, it's just Largo. And, you know, if Largo beats them, well, then, you know, that's going to create another whole storyline of things. So you've got to be able to focus in Pinellas County. You can't just be, and people can't treat Pinellas County a pushover. You can't really treat any school in the state as a pushover because, you know, it's still a new season. It's still early. So you have to be, you know, the first 3 weeks are really critical. Once you get first those three weeks, you start to get that separation. And, you know, then once you get around week 6 where the district games really start for a lot of teams, that's where the separation will really come in. And if you're not ready by the time week 6 rolls around for those district games, you know, some need to be ready in, you know, just a few weeks for week 4 when some district games start then. If you're not ready for those district games in your mentality, your thought process is not there and ready, you might as well go ahead and kiss the thoughts of a postseason goodbye.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and it's, of course, our Prep Connection conversation brought to you each and every week by Body Armor, Coca-Cola, and our friends at the U.S. Marines. Brad Richardson, of course, our in-house expert, and we are blessed to have a relationship with Josh Wilson and Florida High School FootballSports.com is his website, and each and every week you'll be able to catch him in our segments. We are also over here in Pinellas County are launching a Player of the Week, so if you happen to get wind of anybody when you're in your conversation with coaches that eyeball someone in Pinellas, feed that information to Brad or myself there, Josh. We're going to have a little panel, and then we're going to put up their pictures down here at Ferg's and a landing spot for all the students and the families to go and see their Player of the Week. So I kind of like that concept, brought to you by Ferg's and, of course, our friends at Body Armor. They're excited about the concept.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be interesting and all that. And one real quick thing I just want to say real fast, congratulations to Coach Bailey Gaynor over at Northside Christian. He got his first win as new coach again.
Oh, yeah, big shoes to fill there. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, the All-Star year is done. Yeah, and now they were able to defeat Achillean's Angels Christian. I think that's how you're saying it, right? 24-0. It's a tough game for them. They were able to make it all the way to the fourth quarter, and his first win, great, great stepping stone for him, and best of luck going forward with the season with the Northside Christian Mustangs.
Absolutely.
Well, Josh, any parting words before we let you go and relax after a grinding Friday night? I know what those Saturdays are like after an all-night. We used to do 6 hours of coverage, and you'd be exhausted, and then we get up and do our 8 o'clock show up north, and I'm sure you feel about as wiped out. But you do a superb job. I was on your site last night during the course of action, and you're rocking and rolling for the high school kids out there and the coaches and everybody that loves that sport.
No, absolutely. And, of course, they can go to 40justfootball.com anytime during the week, see all the content there and everything, and get all the scores on Friday, Saturday, Thursday, because, you know, there'll be a bunch of Thursday games, especially coming up in about a few weeks with week four, because it's going to be a split week there with a lot of games Thursday and Friday. So, get on the site and check out the live scores. We'll have them for you, try to, make sure that they're as accurate as possible, make sure that, you're getting the right information.
Well, we may have some weather issues this week.
No, fingers crossed. Hopefully not. Hopefully in here on this show or in Pinellas County.
Yeah, we may have some more water bowls. All right, my man, have a great weekend. Right. He's Josh Wilson, and always great conversation. In the house, the big O. We're going to talk a little college football in our next segment. So, Ben, we'll bring you in the conversation. We're gonna shift gears on Brad real quick here. Little Rays conversation.
I see a Florida Marlins shirt over here.
What? Florida Marlins shirt?
Oh.
Can I get a welcome?
Hey, well, hey, yeah, we'll get a welcome. Come on. hey, I just shaved mine, so hey.
The big old Oscar Garner just walks in.
I have a smooth, clean shave.
And they play the Rays next week.
Yeah, should be good. I mean, the Marlins are. I think they're still a good team. I think they're good.
I think he's just wearing a swag.
I think this shirt just goes with my hat. I think
it's a good look. Yeah, you're looking fresh.
Thank you.
You're looking fresh. He's Oscar Garner. And so let's talk about the Rays. I was shocked before we got into the soccer segment that you're actually enthusiastic about this squad.
Yeah, things are looking really good.
A month left in the season. It's about time you got on board.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We dodged a bullet, I will say, by not picking up Shohei Ohtani. I just want to throw that out there. the management of the Rays, who's going out there finding people.
Shohei's.
Yeah, it ain't looking good.
He should have signed a contract and left a trade deadline.
That's about the most Angel thing to ever happen, is that their star pitcher tears his UCL after they decide to keep him because they think they're going to make a playoff run, and now it looks like those hopes are gone. But I will say,
And about $400 million.
I brought up earlier about how Drake, a few weeks ago after the All-Star game, was wearing a Shohei Ohtani jersey. Brought a lot of attention his way. And it looks like there's a Drake curse,
where are you going with it now?
Yeah, God himself. At 8-3, he leaves early with a hand cramp. Then at 8-13, he experiences arm fatigue and misses a start. 8-23, he leaves the start early with arm fatigue. And 8-24,
he's
diagnosed with UCL tear. So I think Drake might have brought some bad luck to Mr. Shohei Ohtani.
Well, no. I'm telling you what. Drake did for the Toronto Raptors.
Exactly.
And my buddy, Nicky Nurse, as the coach, Nick Nurse, he brings karma, good karma. So throw that one out the window there, Negative Nelly.
Well, maybe
Drake's a positive guy.
His sport just might not be baseball. How about that?
Okay, how about, yeah, I'll go with that. He's just trying to get a little Drake pub there. So as you look, we got two more with the Red Sox, and then we're on the road. We go down to Miami, and then from Miami we go to where do we head? Oh, Cleveland, and then we've got Boston.
Boston
next a week from tomorrow. Boston for Labor Day weekend, and that's the first of three.
Yeah, I mean, Boston has.
We could win all those.
We certainly can. I did think that we were having one of the tougher schedules towards the end of the year. I think I think ESPN even ranked them as one of the top
strength of schedules remaining for sure.
So, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how they play out. But all those teams are beatable. A lot of the players on the Yankees, especially, they talk about how the rivalry with the Red Sox isn't even a rivalry anymore. It's more like with the Rays or the Orioles. Those are the big rivalries now. And so we see that the Rays have the Red Sox coming up in their season. Might be.
I got to ask you a question, Mr. Baseball Ben Botham, the prognosticator. Are you still going with your Toronto Blue Jays to go to the World Series?
It's looking further and further from what could possibly happen.
You want to go with a September 1st reevaluation and go from there?
I think that's a good idea.
You want me to give you a do-over?
Because if I could have redone it, I would have picked a different bird. I would tell you that.
The Orioles.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I was going to say. Now, I'm actually leaning more towards Baltimore right now. I mean, just seeing how they've been playing. And then in a side note here.
Traitor.
Hey, come on. I mean, there's another reason I'll say this with Baltimore. We have a Seminole alumni on that team. Joey Crable is one of their closing pitchers. So I'm going to give Baltimore right now the benefit of the doubt. Okay. I'm leaning more towards how they're doing right now, and we'll see what happens going into the playoffs.
I know something positive. What about Yandy Diaz? What a season, man.
Yeah, we have these guys coming out of nowhere. I mean, Yandy Diaz
lead the league in batting average. I mean,
he's looking phenomenal out there. We have guys that...
You know who's number two?
Yeah, I do like Bobby.
So we've got some Tampa, you know, in first place and second place batting averages. You got a Blue Jay, you got a Blue Jay, and then you got... You got a Ray.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching Bo play in high school. I tell you what, that kid could crush a ball.
You remember me getting him out, Brad?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember actually a kid from Rock Christian striking him out. Yeah, that's the highlight of his life.
Not once, twice.
Well, how many times did you hit him, though?
Zero.
Did you hit him?
Big old goose.
Out of respect? I mean, you hit like 13 guys in one game, and out of respect to him, you wanted to see if you could get him out?
Oh, yeah, I got to prove myself a little bit, Mike. I can't hit everybody.
Yeah, you didn't hit Bichette. But there's Rafael. He's one of our new additions, a great kid here down at Ferg Sports Barn Grill. So the Axeman's in the house. Notice, gentlemen, that I have five microphones now, five headphones. So we're starting to legitimize this production so that everybody can participate in our roundtable conversation.
Five bobbleheads just to get some opinions in right now. So five.
Precisely. Well, I'm going to bring Alex in this conversation. He's backing off on his prediction that the Toronto Blue Jays are going to go to the World Series. And I believe you said and win it.
I did say that.
Yeah.
that was a whoopsie.
So I might give everybody a do-over to start September 1, and then we'll transition. We'll take a break after I let everybody pick. So your pick to win the World Series.
Atlanta Braves.
Tough one.
I'll take cosine.
Shock.
Come on, I'm going to hold with the Orioles right now. Sorry.
All right, boy.
I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid and go with the old Tampa Bay Rays.
Come on.
Negative Nelly all of a sudden's gotten on the bandwagon.
He told me the sky was falling. Before Shane McClanahan was on the island.
Exactly. Today started out our conversation with some actual positivity.
Yeah, you missed it. I was Mr. Positivity at the beginning of the show.
I thought our guest was going to die over there, Kerry McNally. I said, Negative Nelly, to the 64-year-old and the 24-year-old body, just actually said something positive.
Yeah, when I saw how they played against the Rockies there, now granted, worst team in the National League, they come back from from these games at the very end of the games, big deficits. It's amazing to see what they were doing
there. At the beginning of the season.
It does remind you of that. And they're doing it with guys that are coming up from AAA, guys that aren't the prototypical stars of Major League Baseball. They're not the Wander Franco or the Shane McClanahan because now they're both gone. And they're able to get the job done. I'm very excited to see how it goes. I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid for a little bit and really hop on the bandwagon.
Okay. Braves, Orioles. I'll go with the L.A. Dodgers.
Well, their stadium's on an island now, Mike. It's surrounded by water.
All right. Okay. Let's take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk college football on week zero on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Good to see you, gentlemen.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios, inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'll take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the peewees to the preps to the pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And, of course, we're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill across from Tropicana Field. Today at 4:10 will be the Yankees and Rays. This place will be a madhouse. Was last night when I was down here. And speaking of madhouse, we've got a panel of five today. We've got Alex Reba, the Axeman, Oscar Garner III, the Big O, Brad Richardson, Ben Baseball Botham, and the old man on the mic. As we're going to talk a little college football. We've got about 20 minutes, so... Let's start out alphabetically. So we'll go with the Axeman. Welcome back to the airwaves. You guys impressed with the fact that I have five microphones for you, five headsets? So this is the real deal, fellas.
I'm excited for you, man. This is next level stuff. I mean, before we were holding these all by hand, then we had the little things, and now we got these, and we got more.
Baby steps.
Is leveling up 100%.
Baby steps. All right, so Axeman, let's just get a little preview of how excited you are, of course, about your Penn State. Now, don't go into a four-hour litany on your Penn State Nittany Lions, but they do have a very bright season ahead of them. They'll take care of business against my Iowa Hawkeyes. I'll admit it right now. So as you look at the landscape, Are we going to see anything surprising in 2023?
Across the college football landscape, I don't know. I think it's a pretty open field this year. I don't feel in previous years we've had the Alabamas and the Tennessee last year coming into the season. We felt pretty confident they'd be in the playoff come the end of the year. I think the Big Ten, as always, it's going to be Ohio State and Michigan in a two-horse race with Penn State on the outside looking in. But I think this year there's a lot of optimism surrounding their team. They have some veteran guys in the secondary. They lost Joey Porter Jr., but they brought in some new talent, and I think they're going to have a really good team. And then offensively, Nick Singleton and Drew Aller are a 1-2 punch that's going to be really exciting to watch. I think Penn State's season, like always, is going to come down to they got to take one out of two against Ohio State and Michigan, and then, you know, don't slip up against Michigan State, Iowa, anyone like that. And it's as simple as that. It's a simple formula year in and year out. I have optimism, but I want to see this offense. I want to see them beat up on West Virginia and to be in that arena next weekend.
Doing a live call-in, by the way.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. But that game's 20.5-point spread. I want to see us beat them by 30-plus. Just
make a statement beginning of the year.
You're your opponent. It's a night game. Crowd's going to be raucous no matter what, even if it wasn't an opener and a night game nonetheless. So yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting year in Happy Valley. But I've had my heart broken enough times to be optimistic while cautious at the same time.
Well, you know, this year, as we watch college football, we're looking at history in the making, because we're going to be losing a lot of, for decades, some century old matchups with the landscape of college football being completely decimated, if you will. And I'm not excited about that as an old man. It's going to be hard to see it happen, but it's also will change. It'll be exciting as well.
I feel like this is becoming somewhat of a lost season. I can kind of already see it happening. Like Alex said, there's not much.
People looking ahead.
Yeah, people looking ahead. Not much of a clear favorite this year. We're pushing the Michigan narrative. While they had a good team last year, right? They still have to go up against the SEC. So I'm not feeling like everybody's fully invested here. I think more people are concerned about who's your Heisman favorite this year, right?
Well, we know who that is.
Caleb? You think it's going to be Caleb?
Well, since Archer Griffin, no one has won back-to-back, but if anybody has an opportunity, it's certainly going to be him, I would say, in 2023.
In seventh place is your Sam Hartman in odds right now.
Oh, man, Sam.
The 26-year-old QB out of Notre Dame who's going to be suiting up for the Fighting Irish this year.
He looks like he should be in an episode of The West Wing.
He looks like a substitute teacher.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Oh, my bad.
I mean, let's face it. Benny went from substitute. Now he's actually influencing the young minds of tomorrow with history.
So your perception of, everybody's preseason ranked number one, fellas, is the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're watching for the three-peat, which might be like the coup de grace sports, right? The hat trick. Everybody wants to say they've got three in a row. In any sport, football being one of the hardest, especially in a class of football that forces you to exit players and rotate out, right? You're depending on the coaching. Can Kirby Smart get that out of this team, right? His QB, what's his name? I forget. His old QB.
He was 28.
He
was 28 years old when
he's gone when
he graduated.
He's gone. A lot of that defense is in
Stidham?
Is in Philadelphia. Yeah, Stidham is
Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett. Yes,
and Carson Beck is the new quarterback.
Carson Beck.
Half that defense is now playing for the Eagles, right? A lot of turnover from years one and years two of that championship. So can they recreate that? I think people are a little less scared of Alabama. Anthony Richardson is gone. The theme here is like it's either the story is Georgia does well, Michigan does well, but nobody is expecting too much else. That's why I feel like people are looking ahead. This could be a lost season.
What's poor Michigan going to do without Jimmy on the sidelines for the first three games?
Not finalized. Aren't they? There's been conversation that he's not going to be suspended this season.
Well, he just made the announcement of who was going to be the interim coaches.
Okay.
And
he has to have a plan in place, but there was conversation.
His dad is going to, who's 84 years old, Jack, the third game, and I can't think of who they're playing. They've got this an easy schedule. Cupcake City.
I think East Carolina could be a really tough matchup without Harbaugh. And it's like, get out of here with that. That schedule, Michigan's going to have a good season. Don't get me wrong, but East Carolina to open up, and then what, they play half the MAC? Like, come on, what are we really doing here?
Yeah, he's got his son, who's an off running backs coach. He's going to be game two's interim coach, and then his dad and another assistant. It's kind of unique. He just announced that today.
I mean, they got a great team. Their running back room is as good as any in the nation. I think their quarterback situation looks a lot more better than it did coming into last season. Now that you got Iowa has their transfer, Cade McNamara.
Thank God we got him.
Jim McCarthy, I think, finally locked down that spot. So I think Michigan's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think we haven't seen Harbaugh be able to put it back to back years against Ohio State.
What are our odds of a Big Ten champion, a national champion?
Not this year, I would say slim. I wouldn't say impossible, but like always, I think the SEC has the stronger team coming into the season. We're gonna have to see how it plays out. But yeah, I mean, they're gonna be battle tested.
That's the disheartening thing for me as a fan, a college football fan, is that you just know it's going to be SEC and everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you sign up for when you're a college football fan.
Yeah, it's the nature of the sport.
It could change as we see NIL continue to expand and teams become a little bit more solidified across the country. And, you know, money's going to pay the best players to come to certain schools. So
speaking of change, I just got back from Colorado, and I'll tell you what, I talked to a lot of CU fans, and my son, who typically would go to a game or two, and he's not a fan just because it's a beautiful venue, and tickets. The students can't even get tickets right now. I mean, Coach Prime has got things, people primed, and the Rocky Mountain State is excited about that. But
that's
a storyline. Just to watch, and it's enjoyable.
That's more of a story. Less of a talent development. Give him some time to institute culture.
Oh, he's not going to make a difference this year.
No, they were 1-8 in Pac-12 play and 1-11 last season.
Aren't they getting brought into the Big 12 now? Aren't they part of that package moving over?
Yeah, they're going Big 12.
Next season. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, even
they left the Big 12. Now they're going back to the Big 12.
Now, but this is a good tailwind for them, right? He's kind of clean swept. That team is going to be almost completely new with new roots being laid. And then on top of that, he's going to have the air of being in the Big 12 with new market, new TV on him. It could be good energy bringing in new recruits going forward for sure.
Yeah, for his brand. I would tell you what, though, the excitement out there, and they need it, but looking at the Rockies and the Broncos is a blow, but they need some of that excitement. Anyway.
The Nuggets. Come on. What are you doing here?
No. The Nuggets.
They got enough excitement between the Avs
and
the
Avalanche. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me.
I feel no.
Look at this casual.
No tears wept for the Denver.
Boy, he got a little fiery there, didn't he?
Like that.
What about the Nuggets?
Yeah.
I was pulling for the Nuggets. I was pulling for the Lance. I lived out there. Anyway,
I would not sleep on one team though. Washington,
Michael Penix Jr.
Indiana legend. Stepping on my toes. Indiana legend. He actually went toe to toe with Michigan State in his first year in a homecoming game. That the final score was 44-40. Absolute shootout. He showed his arm that year. Didn't do much because of the Big Ten competition on the East that he was going up against, but had a good season.
Well, he's coming back to the Big Ten next year.
He will be a Big Ten player coming back. So things come full circle, right? With him having a great year over at Washington and beating up on the Pac-12, this is a chance for him to prove himself again this season. He's number 4 in Heisman odds this year. I actually expect him to move up. He's shown consistent growth each year, and he's beat up on my team 2 years in a row. So,
well, speaking of your team, have you been
very
you're almost silent over there?
Yeah, the Michigan State Spartans.
Should I have Alex break it down before you start weeping?
No. I'll be fine. I'm actually not as bad as him. The Spartans are in a weird spot right now. We've had a lot of success with the transfer portal, but the thing about transfer portal players is the same way you get them is the same way you lose them. And it's a revolving door, right? We don't have any we have no culture that's keeping these kids in here right now. And so we're really leaning on Coach Tuck to not only fix the defense, but figure out our quarterback position so we can have an overall team direction that players can get behind. With that said, I don't see us being even fourth place in the East this year. I see this as another barely make a bowl game season, maybe even miss the bowl game.
How are you going to survive college football this year, buddy?
I think I might be a Penn State fan. I don't know.
You're not letting him on that bandwagon, are you?
I mean, he's got extra shirts. I know he does.
We'll
look,
all the support we can get.
At this point, it's just an anti.
I guarantee he's got swag.
No, he does. I'm more of an anti-Michigan guy this season. How about that?
Well, I'm always an anti-Michigan guy.
I'm an anti-Ohio State guy more than anti-Michigan.
Are you really?
Guy. Yeah. I mean, they beat us every year. I just want to win one so bad. They're like our rival to the north, to the west, and I have a ton of friends that went there, so it's a lot more personal.
I think Michigan State. I mean, I think Michigan is just more pretentious.
Okay, so we are on a Florida sports stream, and we are in Tampa Bay. So I should ask your opinion. There's a lot of preseason picks of FSU Seminoles in the Final Four, the top four. I'll start with you, Alex. You think they got that's a possibility?
Yeah, they come into the season.
I looked at their schedule.
Eighth in the country. Yeah, their schedule is going to come down to Clemson, really. I mean,
exactly. I mean, that's the ACC.
The ACC, and in a nutshell, and you look at their schedule. They got the Virginia Tech at home. The LSU opener is going to be a fun one, like it was last year. Yep. I would assume. I think that's going to be a. You know, writing's going to be on the wall. If they win that one comfortably, then I think they'll.
And I am all Seminole ever since Brian Kelly, that traitor, left Notre Dame. I hope he loses all of his players to the pros. And anything that can befall a coach, I hope it happens to Brian Kelly.
That's
all I really feel.
Personal relation to Brian Kelly. But yeah, I know. I think
Florida takes his freaking Southern accent.
that first conference. That was a bad watch.
That was bushly.
He also followed up in the shadow of a legendary coach at LSU, which is hilarious.
My man.
Loved him.
I love that cat.
But yeah, no, I think Florida at the end of the season is going to be fun. Always love an FSU-Florida matchup. And then, yeah, it's going to be Clemson and LSU are the toughest challenges on their schedule. They're going to have to put together a good season. FSU hasn't done that in a long time. They've been kind of sputtering for a while. So it's, you know, I think they're going to want to make a lasting impact here in the ACC, especially if they decide to try to move out of that conference down the line.
Going across the way, over to Gainesville.
Well, Billy Ball is over after this year.
Yeah, I think that the Swamp is down bad in the worst way. I think
just doesn't sound very intelligent. Napier? I mean, he just sounds, I mean, he could, if he was winning, nobody'd say anything.
If he was winning, and that's the thing, he has no talent. He hasn't really done much in the transfer portal this year. Hasn't really done much to build this team up. So,
they don't have much tolerance for losing down there in Florida.
I think it's going to be another tough year for Gainesville. I think they better just watch the Indianapolis Colts and act like it's their team.
I thought you were going to say watch Swamp Kings over and over on Netflix.
Or do that, to drown out the pain.
I can't believe they made that Richardson decision that quickly. Can you in Indiana?
He's probably showing more upside than people expected. So,
everyone was so enamored by his intangibles coming into this season, going into the.
Only got a couple minutes. Quick NFL quip. How about the trade from the 49ers to the Cowboys? Trade Lance.
It's weird. It's a strange trade. It's kind of
the day before. I'm reading it right here in the Post, and John Lynch said, "No, he'll be on our roster. He's going to be on our roster."
Oh yeah.
And within 24 hours, gone.
So here's the question. Is Trey Lance Dak Prescott insurance?
No. You think so?
No, I think Trey Lance
is Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield insurance.
Well, that's a different story. Okay. Trey Lance was a third overall pick.
I know.
He has enough upside.
I followed him. From the Midwest. I've been to North Dakota State many times. I followed him, and I was hoping for him that he would be successful. I love anybody comes out of the
box. It's more of a vote. A positivity towards Sam Darnold. It's the reason he keeps getting these kind of jobs, these different opportunities, is he's better.
Kind of bumped him up.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you can't have three quarterbacks in that quarterback room.
You
of
can't,
that caliber.
Not of that caliber.
It never works out. That's why they needed to get a deal. I mean, I'm happy if I'm a Cowboys fan that gives up only a fourth round pick to have a backup that has that kind of upside that will be there in case Dak goes down at a certain point. I mean, we saw Dak go down last year, and it was Gardner Minshew that came in at a certain point. I don't think.
My man. Well, fellas, this has been entertaining. We're winding things down. We've got to get our Big Monday conversations going. All the Big Ten coverage you want is going to be with Big O and the Axeman on Mondays, and it'll be on Florida Sports Stream. And we'll break some more news on that next week. We're going to be launching that right here at the start of the season in September. So for Rowdy Soccer, Jim Hart, David Wilson, Perry McNally, Paul Porter, the legend, Josh Wilson, Brad Richardson, Joe Boudreau, Big O, of course, Matt on the controls, Alex Reba, I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.